Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. And it is so good to be with you as we meet with our Lord who has created us, who loves us, our Lord who died and rose again to save us from our sins, who has sent his Spirit to cause us to be born again, who causes us to know the adoption as God's children, who brings us into a relationship with himself and wants us to know him. And as we meet with our Lord today, I'm just so thankful for all the love that he has shown us, for him giving us this time to meet with him, because that's the whole gist of what we do here, is meet with our Lord. I'm thankful he has given us his word, these means of meeting, Jonathan and Nikki, for all that they do to make these times possible. I'm thankful for this day that he's given to us. It's kind of a cloudy, overcast day here. The sun's supposed to come out this afternoon. I hope that it's a pretty day whenever it is that you're watching this. But more than anything, I hope that you're having a great day as you walk with the Lord and that you've been looking forward to our time together with him. And since we have come together and the Lord has brought us here, let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the day that you have given to us. Lord, we are thankful, O God, that a God like you would want us to know you. Father, that a God like you would want to save sinners like us. You'd want to wash us clean, adopt us as your children. Father, fill us with your Spirit, draw us near, enable us to know you. Father, that you've given us this time, Lord, to come together before you. And fathers, we're here. More than anything else today, we want to know you. Yes, Lord, as we look at this psalm, Lord, give us an understanding of what is factually being said. Father, the truths that are there. But Father, through all of that and upon all of that, oh God, let us know you by mind and by heart, oh Lord, we pray. Lord, speak to us. Draw us close to you, we pray, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You know, we think about all the wonderful ways in which God moves in our lives, the richness, the fullness that he gives to our lives. It is just a wonderful blessing to think of all that God does. You think about what David was inspired to write in Psalm 4:7, where he said, "You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and new wine abound." And of course, you think about what David would later write in the 23rd Psalm in the latter part of verse 5, where he said, "My cup overflows." You think about what our Lord said, "I come that in John 10:10, I come that they might have life and have it abundantly." You know, if we would just stop and think about the wonderful richness and fullness that God brings into our life, we would spend the rest of the day praising him and thanking him for it. But you know, as wonderful as those blessings are for us, we need to understand that the full impact of those blessings should be seen beyond us. The reality of God working and moving in our life and that richness and that fullness ought to have an impact on those around us. It ought to influence them. And this is exactly what we see as we come to God's Word today and we look at Psalm 67. And you think about what we read in verse 1. "God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us." Selah. I'm sure all of us can identify with that. Certainly, we want God's richness and the blessings he wants to put in our life. And I know usually our first thought is the material or the financial. And yes, many times God blesses us with that. I'm sure all of us can see the wonderful ways that God has blessed us. But even more importantly than the material or the logistical or the financial blessings are the spiritual blessings and the emotional blessings, that richness, that fullness that God brings into our life. But as wonderful as those are, again, it's not to those things should, the benefit of those things should not end with us. It should have a dramatic impact on those around us. You think about what we see in verses 2 through 7, "That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Again, the wonderful blessings that God puts upon us and in our life certainly ought to cause us to praise him, to thank him, but that ought to be seen by those around us and ought to have an impact on their life. Now, this is not to say, and we'll comment on this as we go through this psalm, that everybody who sees God working in our life will in fact be drawn to him and be brought to salvation. Some will, many won't. Many, in fact, because of their sinful condition, will turn even further away from God. But you think of the wonderful opportunities it in fact presents. You see, God's blessings upon us, number one, leads to salvation. And by that I mean it will bring others to salvation in him. Not everyone, to be sure, we wish it was, but there will be those who will see God's hand upon us, see the reality of God working in our life, and they will in fact want God. You think again about what we see there in verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all the nations. And you think about the prayer there. Yes, back in verse 1, God bless us, but God bless us so that others will see the reality of you in our life, and they will want you, and they will come to know you and come to know your salvation. Now, prophetically, the day is coming when that will be fulfilled completely and totally, but the principle still works in our life now. And again, not that everyone will want to know the Lord, but there will be those who will, in fact, will. There will be those who will see God working and moving in our life, and they will in fact want that. You think about what we see over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 15, where it says, but sanctify, that means set apart, Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. You think about what Peter's telling his readers there. To set apart Christ as Lord so that those around will see the difference, and when they ask, you can give them the very loving reason. Again, that's not to say that everyone will want to know and that everyone who hears will want to know Christ, but God will in fact work through that. And this ought to tell us the importance of walking with the Lord and being filled by him so that his reality can in fact be seen in our life. And so, yes, all of us like for God to bless us. And we certainly want that richness and fullness, but we need to understand it shouldn't just end with us. It should in fact be seen so that God's wonderful salvation will be seen, so that others will come to know him. And so God's blessing upon us leads to salvation. But also, secondly, as we look at this psalm, we see that God's blessing leads to praise. Obviously, from us, that we praise the Lord for what he's done. We've already seen that in verse 1. But again, you follow the train of thought here. As individuals see God working in our life, there will be those, not all, but there will be those who will want to come to know God through his wonderful salvation, and as a result, they will praise the Lord. So the end result will be that there will be more people who are in fact praising the Lord. You think about how we see this in verses 3 through 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Look at verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Yes, prophetically, this will be fulfilled when Christ establishes his kingdom and he rules and he reigns. But again, the type, if you will, or the miniature picture of that can be seen in our life now. Again, as individuals see God work in our life, some of them will be drawn to salvation. As a result of that, they will join us in praising the Lord, and the net result will be that there will be more people who are in fact praising the Lord and in fact honoring him and glorifying him. And you see, this leads us to something that we need to understand, and that's the fact that salvation is ultimately about God's honor and glory. Yes, obviously we reap the benefit being forgiven of our sins, cleansed, made forever right with God, made his children. We are the wonderful beneficiaries of it. But we need to understand that God's salvation, whether the big picture or the salvation he brings us to individually, it is ultimately for his honor, praise, and glory. You think about how we see this in the book of Ephesians. Think about Ephesians 1 and consider verse 6. as he's been talking about God's wonderful work of bringing us to salvation. Why? Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he has freely bestowed on us in the beloved. You think about what he said down in verse 12, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. You look down at verse 14. Who has given us as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. You know, you read through that first chapter of Ephesians and you see the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in our salvation. The whole Trinity is involved in reconciling us to himself. And yet all of it also glorifies him, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It is, in fact, to his praise. God's blessings upon us are seen for his praise, his honor, and his glory. And again, there will be those who will see that. They will come to know the Lord. And the net result, well, there will be more who will give praise, honor, and glory unto God. It is, in fact, for his praise. God's blessing us should lead to his praise. But then notice what else. God's blessings also lead to obedience. You think about what we read again in verse 4. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Again, prophetically, this ultimately looks to when Christ rules and reigns. But that ought to be seen in our life now. In fact, is an evidence of genuine saving faith. Is the desire to live in obedience unto Christ. We refer to this as the Lordship of Christ. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. To confess him as Lord doesn't just mean that you call him by his name. It is the personal recognition that he is your Lord, he is your King, he is your ruler. Genuine salvation brings with it that desire to live in obedience unto the Lord. I'm not saying that the newly saved individual understands the terminology, might not fully understand the doctrine, but that there is, as a work of the Holy Spirit, a change in their heart where they want to live now to please God. They want to live in a way that's right to God. They want to live close to God and in obedience unto him. Again, they might not be able to explain the doctrine. They might not know the terms, but they'll know a change is in their heart where they want to live unto him. And God's blessings lead to obedience. Yes, obedience in us, a genuine salvation. But again, as individuals see the reality of God in our life, some, not all, but some will in fact want him. And a result of coming to him is that there will be more people who want to live in obedience unto our Lord. Yes, the day is coming when our Lord will rule and reign over all things, but we who know him now are to live in his obedience, under his lordship. And again, the reality of God in us will cause some to want him, and then they too will join us in living in obedience unto our Lord. It in fact leads to obedience. But then look what else. We see God's blessings, and by that I mean his blessings upon us, lead to fear. By fear, I mean that awesome, reverential respect of who God is. You think about how we see this in verse 6. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. Verse 7, God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. As they see God working in our life, some, not all, but will in fact turn to him, have faith in him, there will be that awesome respect of him. And quite frankly, and you may have experienced this, you may have experienced it in your own life, or you may have seen it, or a believer where this is true. You know, the reality of God in their life, you know, it draws some people to them. But there will also be those people who, for no reason whatsoever, just have an uneasiness around them. And if you've had that experience, you sit there and think, you know, what have I done to cause this? And the reality is, not you, it's the one that they sense in you. Or you may have seen it, you know, in a third person. Sometimes things like this are easier to see in other believers. you know, you know this believer, they're walking with the Lord, and you see that there are those who are drawn to them, to that God that that person, that believer knows. But then as you just casually watch and observe, there'll be individuals who want to avoid them, not because that believer is has a holier than thou, pious, look at me attitude, but that God is so real in their life that they really just, those lost people just don't feel comfortable around them. Some are wonderfully drawn and are brought to salvation. Some try to stay away. That element of fear goes both ways. And quite frankly, we ought to walk with God so closely that those whose hearts are open to God are drawn to us. Those who are in hardened rebellion against God want to shun us. Again, not because of any attitude that we have or any self-righteous display, but because of the reality of God within us. Either one marks that fear of God, that awesome respect of who He is. Yes, we want God to bless us. We enjoy the fullness, the richness that He gives, and whatever physical, tangible things He gives is all from Him. We ought to be thankful and appreciative, but the greatest riches are the spiritual and those within. But we need to be mindful those things are not just for us. They are to be demonstrations of a God who's real to a world that doesn't know Him and has rejected Him. And we pray that those around us will be drawn to Him, come to salvation, join us in praising Him, join us in obeying Him, and that all the earth would in fact have that awesome respect of the living God whom we know by His grace. Yes, we pray God blesses us, but not just for it to be spent on us, but for Him to be seen. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You. Oh, Lord God, for Your word and for this day. And Father, as we go through this day, Lord, may we walk closely with You. Father, may Your reality be seen in our life by those around us. Father, we pray, oh God, that You'll open the hearts and the eyes of those around us so that they will want the God that they see within us. It's never about us, it's about You. Oh, Lord, help us to walk in a way that's pleasing and honoring unto You. And, O Lord, may it bring individuals to salvation. Father, a salvation, O God, that results in more individuals praising You and obeying You. And, O God, may Your reality result in a holy, awesome, reverential respect and fear of who You are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I hope that you have a wonderful day today, however much of it is left at the time that you watch this. I hope that you enjoy the Lord's closeness and fellowship with Him, and I pray that His reality is seen in your life to those around you.